missed it this year, and we decided to do it. It's our annual look at the reason for the season. We have three area pastors. We have, and everyone here, say hi as I say your name, Andy Kennelly.
Hello.
From the First Presbyterian Church. Good morning, Andy.
Yes, good to be here. Thank you.
Eric Russ from Cedar Hills.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Steve Heinsen.
Mm-hmm.
From the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here today.
And we're going to take a good look at what the reason for the season is from the faith perspective.
Yes, we're going to be talking about the real meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
We hope we'll get some insights from our guests today.
And a little inspiration.
Yeah. But first, let's talk about the weather, because we have some weather coming in. It's going to start snowing tonight. Today is going to be mostly cloudy, high of 37 degrees, but we're expecting snow tonight. Low is going to drop to 27, 80% chance of snow. And then we're going to have a lot of snow with a winter storm watch for Thursday through into Friday. It's going to gradually get warmer. That may turn to rain down in the valleys. Hopefully, it'll stay snow up in the mountains. And it's going to be rainy, snowy out through the weekend.
Any amount of snow predicted in the valleys?
I don't have the number. It could be a few inches tonight, up to 3 inches. And then another accumulation tomorrow of perhaps 3 inches. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then it could turn to rain, unfortunately.
An interesting mix. Okay.
And other things going on outside. The sunrise this morning was at 7:32 a.m. It sets tonight at 3:52 p.m. Over the course of the last week, we've lost 5 minutes of daylight today per day. But I'm happy to say we're just about to the shortest day of the year, which is the winter solstice. That comes on Saturday. And after that, every day gets longer.
And that's my favorite time of year. That day when we turn around and look towards more sun, more light in the day.
Yeah. And so do we have a Sandpoint City Minute?
We do, from the City Administrator Jennifer Stapleton. And the message is the first of our series of seven weekly surveys went live this last Sunday. And we need your opinion. This week's topic is transportation. Your feedback will help inform our multimodal transportation master plan, which is currently underway. Don't delay. This survey closes at 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, December 21st. So you still have time. And the survey can be accessed at our website, sandpointidaho.gov/engage. And also, so every week for the next 7 weeks, there'll be a survey subject that you can go to. Their website is amazing. You can sign up for Engage Sandpoint. The city will also be taking the week of Christmas off, and the next survey will launch on Sunday, December 29th. That topic will be economic development and jobs. The entire survey schedule is on their website.
Yeah.
From the Sandpoint City Minute.
Okay. That might have been, 70, 80 seconds there, but
okay.
We'll call it a minute.
Okay.
There's a ton of things going on around town, as always. One of the things is happening tonight. Susie, what is that?
Well, every year, KRFY gets to go to the Idaho Poor Authority. Thanks to John and Vicki for hosting nonprofits on Wednesday nights. And this is our annual meeting, but I like to call it our annual party rather than meeting. And it is a fundraiser for KRFY. So come on down to the Idaho Poor Authority tonight from 5 to 8 p.m. That's at 203 Cedar Street. And we will be talking about our wonderful community radio station. So join us, meet the KRFY crew, have a brew from Payette Brewery out of Boise, and show support for community radio in North Idaho.
Yeah, that's a great event. We hope a lot of people will come. And it's a really easy way to support community radio and have some fun as well.
I have one more thing. Yes, that's true. I hope everyone shows up. Wouldn't that be something? Mm-hmm. And also, we have one ticket that was given to us to the Nutcracker tonight. Of course, we want you to come to the KRFY event at the Idaho Poor Authority, but if you are short one ticket to the Nutcracker at the Panada, we have one for you. If you're the third caller and you make a minimal donation, You can have that ticket. So our number, so just call and leave a message if you're the third caller. Our phones aren't on in the studio, but I'll check the messages after the morning show. And if you're the third caller, call 208-265-2992, and we have a ticket for you to the Nutcracker at the Panada tonight.
And that's probably a rare item. I bet the Nutcracker is sold out.
It is sold out. That's so, why, yeah.
Yeah, so opportunity to get it right there. Give us a call on that. And there are a million things going on around town. Million's a little exaggeration, but I'm looking at a couple dozen that are happening between now and Christmas with all kinds of musical events and celebrations around the community, in addition to the Nutcracker and our own annual meeting happening tonight. So take a look at our calendar at krfy.org. We have a community calendar there that has all the things that are happening and all the details.
That's right.
And with that, on to today's topic.
Let's, again, welcome our guests, faith leaders, I call you, but pastors is another word. We have Andy Kennelly and Eric Rust and Steve Heinsohn. From area churches. And, you know, this time of year can get very, very busy. And I think, you know, talking about the real reason for the season is a good thing to do at least once a year here at 88.5 KRFY. And so I guess we can just start by asking each of you and just say your name when you speak. We can start with Steve from the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. How do you, as a pastor of a congregation, a group of people that want to deepen their relationship to something deeper, a meaning in their life, how do you bring this Christmas season? What is your message? And how is it for you also personally?
When I think of Christmas, what comes to mind is family, not just the family that the Lord's put me in on this earth. You know, I'm 1,500 miles from my family there in the Midwest. But I think of that I was put into a very special family, a family where I have a father who cares for me dearly, a Lord who cares for me dearly, and to know that even though I am separated from my earthly family, hey, I've got the Lord watching over me. I've got the Lord watching over the people in my congregation, the people in this community, that I'm loved, that I have someone that wants to be in a super tight relationship with me, that knows me from head to toe, that cares for me, that cared enough to send a baby, Jesus, to be the one who is watching over me at all times. I'm never alone. I'm loved. I'm in a relationship with someone that cares about every want, every need that I have. And in a world where relationships seem to be strained, I mean, there's no tension in our world right now at all, is there? Just none. But in a world and a day when things are so strained, that I have a Lord that says, I care for you enough and I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to walk with you in every step of your journey of life, your journey of faith. And most of all, I want you to be with me forever. You're never going to be alone.
So this season that we call Christmas, that's what comes to mind for you. It sounds like a reflection and a remembrance of the true something in your life.
Exactly, that I'm not forgotten, that the Lord cares for me enough, that he's going to watch over me in every step I take, and I am never, never alone in being cared for, even when I screw up, which is all the time. That the Lord just simply wants to be in a relationship with me that's not going to end, and he's going to take me in spite of my messiness and brokenness and say, yeah, I still love you, I still care for you, and I'm going to provide for you today and every day.
Okay, Pastor Eric Rust, same question to you. You know, how would you describe the meaning of the season for you?
We were talking a minute ago, one of the occupational hazards we get as pastors who lead churches is we start preparing for Christmas. It feels like sometimes the same time all of our shopping malls do, right? And businesses, because we're thinking about how do we help create an experience for so many other people, which is an absolute honor and joy. It's one of the great things that we get to do. I've noticed for myself, I can almost have just a little bit of burnout by the time December rolls around. And so one of the things that for me has been helpful is finding ways to slow down and be a little bit more present in this time of year. Because it could literally pass us by. We're actually doing a series in our church this December called Surviving Christmas, because sometimes that's what it feels like. It's like if we can just get through the holidays, make it to when the kids go back to school, and put all the decorations away. It's like we survived another holiday. And obviously, it's supposed to be so much more than that. And so finding space to be able to celebrate, as Steve said, a baby. I mean, that's the beauty of Christmas. It is so simple when you really get down to it. And while there's other things that are wonderful, but also complicated, when we really get back to what it's all about, a child, God among us, the simple joy that I can find there is profound. And so I start there, and then I think one of my goals, of course, is to try to help others through our church and our community experience that same gift of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. How would you say you can do that? I mean, it's a multifaceted approach, I'm sure, but what is some of the standout ways that you can bring that specialness to your people, your congregation?
You know, we try, we always lead up to Christmas with some sort of a series or a buildup. You know, anticipation is an important word, I think, during the Christmas season. Of course, we see it in little kids as Christmas gets closer. I don't think we ought to lose that. And I don't think we really, not all of us even do lose it as we get older. So we try to find a creative way to talk about it. It can be a little hard. Like, what are you teaching on Christmas this year? Oh, birth of Jesus, right? Like, that's the same story. But there's so many different aspects to look at it with. And so if we can find a new angle that helps people think about Christmas in a new way, it's like driving to work to a different direction, or coming home from, you know, picking the kids up to school and taking a different road. It forces you to think about life a little bit differently. So that's one thing that we do, is just try to get ourselves out of the routine a little bit and thinking about Christmas from a new perspective.
Pastor Andy Kennelly, did I get that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
First Presbyterian Church. Same question to you.
An interesting thing about radio is that the listeners can't see us right here. And so they can't tell that I'm a little nervous and my heart is pounding. And so what is it that I need to do to be present in this moment? I take a few deep breaths and then a few more. I close my eyes for a second. I gather my thoughts. And then I simply go to the microphone and engage. And trust that something will be there. Some message will resonate with someone. That's Christmas in a sense. Christmas is a busy time. There's lots of nuances to it through the church, through the larger culture, through capitalism, through, you know, I mean, name the deal, and Christmas is affected by it. There's another thing about the radio is you can't see the studio in here. There's a calendar hanging on the wall. It has a Norman Rockwell picture on it for December. It says, Christmas isn't a season, it's a feeling. And so in that sense, Christmas isn't really an event. It's a new reality. And so that's how I try to approach it with the life of the congregation. Is more than just a special day or a specific service, you know, like our Christmas Eve service. It's actually preparing our hearts through the season of Advent. It's celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus. It's reflecting on the Christmas season as the weeks go along. It's claiming Epiphany as a season of God with us. And so Christmas is more than just an event. And so in that sense, it's important for us, and we offer opportunities at the church for people to gather in things like Taizé meditative services during Advent to simply take a time out and take those deep breaths and sing reflective songs and hear a simple message and enter Christmas in a more reflective way. And so basically, how can we as a congregation raise awareness in our own hearts, let alone in the larger community?
You mentioned something I'd like to dive into a little bit. That's Advent. Tell us what Advent is about. This is the season that leads up to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
How do you approach Advent at the First Presbyterian Church? Are there different? Is it a formal event for you?
I use the word liturgical There's some traditions that focus more on liturgical traditions, and Advent would be one of those. It's a season of preparing for Christmas, and some churches kind of approach it as kind of a penitential aspect, so you have aspects of symbolic colors like purple, meaning like repentance and this sort of thing. Other churches approach it more as a celebratory thing, and so it's focused on joy. And for us, we focus on Advent kind of in a mix of going with the flow of the Spirit, but also honoring traditions. So we have an Advent wreath with candles on it, and every Sunday we light an additional candle, and usually we attach some sort of word to symbolize a theme for the day, whether it be love or hope or joy or peace. Then on Christmas Eve, it's kind of fun because we finally get to light the Christ candle, you know, in the middle. And, you know, there's symbolism behind all of these things of light coming into darkness, of even the colors of the candles. And so Advent is just an invitation to be intentional, to raise your awareness of what God is doing in our midst.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Eric Rust, Cedar Hills, you want to add anything to that about how you would approach Advent? I just happen to know that Advent's a thing at Cedar Hills.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm definitely sitting between two guys that can talk a lot better about this than myself. Knowing the traditions that Steve and Andy come from, Advent and a lot of other liturgical church experiences are more a regular part of what they do. We don't do a lot of that at Cedar Hills, generally. And I find tremendous value in some of these, historic church celebrations like Advent. So we're actually doing an Advent process this year. We're celebrating Advent. Of course, we couched it in the surviving Christmas idea, but we're lighting a candle every week. We talked about the first candle, and of course, I'm learning a lot about, it's the prophecy candle, and it stands for joy, or no, it stands for hope. Mm-hmm. And help me out, guys. So this week we're on the angels candle. We're talking about peace, and so it's been really a fun experience for me, and I think to help our congregation, many of whom haven't had experience. Like I grew up in the church, never once celebrated Advent until a handful of years ago when we did it. So my first time was actually as a pastor leading people through it. It's been a cool way to connect with deep tradition that runs back, not all the way back to the time of Christ, but hundreds of years in the church, and to know that we are celebrating as many others have celebrated with us. There's something about that that's kind of communal and, like Steve was saying earlier, familial, like family. Mm-hmm. There's a sense that we're in this with others. So that's been a really profound experience for me this year. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Steve Heinzen with Presbyterian Redeemer Lutheran Church, would you like to add any thoughts on Advent?
When I think of Advent, I think of this. Step back, slow down, focus on the very thing we're talking about this morning. What is the reason for the season? What are we preparing for? To help with that, as Andy mentioned, we also have some traditions. We have the Advent wreath, with the candle lighting. This year, we're actually doing a reader's theater at the start of each of our services that focuses on the themes for those candles and for the Advent season in general. But the main thing is prepare. For what? What are we preparing for? I mean, good grief. Look at the month of December. Most people I know are running around like chicken with their head cut off. It's a crazy time of year for everybody, myself included. So you want me to slow down and prepare for something? Breathe, relax. Know that Christmas is a time in which we look for the answer to this craziness, this wild things that are going on, and to know, I may not be in control, but I know someone who is. To prepare for the star of unity, the star of joy, the star of peace, and the star is Jesus.
Well, that's a great sentiment from all of you and a way of looking at it. And I always think of Advent as a time when the light comes into the darkness. And any way you want to look at that, it is also a European tradition, as you say, Christian European tradition the Advent, you know, but it is a joyful time. Thank you for that. But all of you mentioned the busyness and the commercialism, and you alluded to some of the ways in taking a deep breath, and but how can people not get caught up in that? Is there other techniques that through your pastoral work, you can help your congregation or an individual that might come to you and is overwhelmed? And it is also, you know, that kind of, it's very stressful kind of time of year. So how do you look at that? We'll start with Pastor Rust. Eric.
Right on. Well, this season of Christmas is a time, two very different expressions. On one hand, it's a time where, if we're not careful, we can become very self-centered and very focused on ourselves. You know, we try to think about I think back when I was a kid and the specific gifts I wanted, and my life depended upon, you know, happiness on the 26th of December was all based upon, did I get the gift that I wanted on the 25th? And we know we hope we grow out of that, but not always. I heard that Lil Jon song, I think it was from last year, yesterday, about all I want for Christmas is everything on my list. You know, that's all. So that's one hand of what we see. On the other, we are in the most generous season of the year. And people are more generous during this season than any other time of the year. I don't think that happens naturally for all of us, but I do think there's a great opportunity for us to use generosity, to use selflessness and thinking about others in such a way that it helps us remember the most selfless gift of all, which was, of course, the gift of Christ on Christmas, God giving his son, his best to us. So I think by giving, we can really break the power of greed in our lives, and we can reorient ourselves on what this season is all about. And there are countless ways to give. We do that at our church every year. We have a Christmas offering of some sort, and this year we have a food initiative where we're trying to help feed those both locally and also internationally that might find they have food insecurities and just don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And so that's a way that we can rally together and make a difference. But I think if all of us could find a way to turn our eyes and our thoughts towards others, and turn a little bit of our pocketbook in whatever percentage we feel led to do, that in and of itself kind of reorients us with what the season's all about, and it keeps us away from that commercial pull. Because commercialism's okay on one hand. I mean, I love the music, I love the stores, I love all of that. But we have to make sure that it's in balance, and giving kind of does that for us.
And Andy, Pastor Andy, same question. Basically, how do you lead that more generous giving spirit into this season for the folks that you work with?
At our church, we try to talk about ways to give. And people at Christmas, you know, you can approach Christmas on a superficial way, or what people are really looking for are deeper things, is meaning in life. And how God is involved in life, in their own life, in the world, with everything happening in our situation. So how can we help people, especially people who are suffering? So we set up a tree in our fellowship hall. We call it the Tree of Warmth. And our deacons coordinate that, where people bring in hats and gloves and mittens and scarves and socks and different ways to support people who need items to stay warm. And those are given during the Christmas season to groups that coordinate that sort of thing. And there's other alternative gifts. Maybe rather than all the boxes under the tree, we encourage people to talk about other alternatives, like mission giving, or, you know, give a goat. There's lots of organizations out there that provide on a global scale to meet needs that are real. And so you can buy a share in an animal or you know, some aspect of giving in a material but not a materialistic way. And in a way that expresses the love and care and generosity that God has placed on our hearts. It's a way to give back.
And in a foreign country, that goat may mean a whole lot to a community.
Makes or a person huge or a family. Change in people's lives.
So looking differently. And Steve, the same question basically.
What's the most precious commodity that we can give right now? We talk monetary gifts. I think the most precious commodity is one that our Lord showed us, and it's time. Time is precious, especially in a world where we need 28 hours a day, 9 days a week, and 428 days a year just to get by with the things we want. But time. Think about our Lord. He took the time to send his son down from heaven to earth for us. He took the time to live a life that we live. He took the time to give his life for us. I mean, talk about the greatest sacrifice of all. Money can't buy that. It's all about time. How can we share our time with folks right here in our own community, Helping Hands, Healing Hearts, food banks, etc.? Can we share our time? Financial gifts are great too, but time. God gave his time for us. And as a thank you, as a response to that in gospel love, we share our time with others.
As you're all speaking about this, I think about those that may be all by themselves and not have a family or a congregation or a group of people. And we'll come back to that idea, but first.
Let's take a short musical break here. If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. Today we're talking with Pastors Andy Kennelly of the First Presbyterian Church, Eric Rust of Cedar Hills Church, and Steve Heinsohn of the Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church about the reason for the season and the meaning of Christmas. We're going to take a short musical break. We're going to hear a song that hopefully everybody knows. It's Joy to the World. It's by the Blind Boys of Alabama, and we'll be back in just about 2 minutes.
You're doing great.
What could you do? I feel like I'm so much taller.
And that was the Blind Boys of Alabama playing Joy to the World, kind of a melancholy version of that a little bit.
Great harmonies, though.
But the harmonies were great, yeah. And we're back in the studio now with our three pastors, Andy, Eric, and Steve, talking about the real meaning of Christmas. And one thing about Christmas, even though it's a time of joy for so many people, for a lot of people, it's a time of sadness. And it can be because they're remembering loved ones that they've lost, or it can be a time of anxiety because we don't have enough money to buy presents, or we feel pressured to just to buy the perfect present. And these kind of negative feelings that come up around Christmas is something I'm sure that you probably have individuals as pastors that come and talk to you about struggles they may be having at this time of year. How can people who feel sadness or anxiety deal with that? And let's start with you, Pastor Andy.
One of the things at Christmas that we talk about is Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And it sounds quaint and remote, and Bethlehem is a small village, but it's also in a shadow. Nearby Bethlehem is the Herodian, and King Herod was a ruthless authoritarian, and he lived a paranoid life. He was afraid of Egypt invading. So he had a series of palaces that would serve as rest stops during his retreats. And the Herodian was one of those. If you ever drive south of Spokane out in the Palouse, you'll see Steptoe Butte. It's kind of like, here's all this rolling, beautiful farmland, and there's this peak, this mountain up in Steptoe Butte. Well, picture the Herodian, a big palace built on top of that. That's kind of what it's like there. And so it's Bethlehem is literally in the shadow of Herod. During the day, the shadow is cast over the village. That's where Jesus was born, in the shadow of Herod. And so it's important for us to recognize that shadow work is something God is very accustomed to. And when we have hard times, when we have grief in our lives, when we approach, when something happens and we're forced to deal with something that has happened that's tragic. Tragedy, I kind of define it as something that has happened where we can't go back to the way it was before. Whether that be a financial challenge or the death of a loved one, whatever that tragedy may be, hits us in different ways. That introduces shadow work. And rather than see that as something to avoid or push away or run from, because it's painful, it's hard work, to recognize that Jesus was born into a shadow to help us through those. To recognize that as we watch the sunset and we're in the we talked about solstice earlier, we're in those longest days of darkness right now. You know, the fastest way to get to the sunrise isn't by chasing the sunset. It's by plunging into the darkness and going through the night, trusting that the dawn is there and that the light will shine. That's what grief work is about. That's what trusting through hard times in a power of God is about. That's a reason for the season.
I'm wondering, Pastor Andy, if how you do that, if someone comes to you, how do you bring that message to someone? Or, like I mentioned before the music break, if someone is alone, how do you reach out to bring that message? Because the message is clear, but how do you, if someone is in the midst of that shadow or alone, mm-hmm. how do you reach out and how do you help them?
I think one of the main ways is to honor the fact that what they're experiencing is legitimate. Grief and loneliness are indicators that are pointing to something else. They're pointing to our need to connect with other people. And so how the church can reach out to people in that situation, how other groups, for example, hospice here has grief support groups. It's important for people to recognize these things as indicators that we are social creatures and we need support of other people to help us through. I remember James Finley said that God's love protects us from nothing but sustains us in all things. You know, as human beings, we're not exempt from life's tragedies. Everybody experiences pain in whatever way that gets expressed. And so if we see that as an opportunity to enter into the depths of relationship through a loving God and the gift of Jesus who entered the shadow of our experience, that's a different way of approaching it that leads to a transformed life and a peace beyond understanding.
Pastor Steve, how would you address that question? How can people who feel sadness or anxiety at this time of year deal with that?
Like Andy said, first of all, acknowledge it's the real deal. This is a season where people want things to be perfect. You hear people talk about the perfect Christmas. Everything has to be set up so that everyone's happy, everyone's smiling. That in and of itself can create stress, a lot of stress. But how do you work with someone who is dealing with a real loss, a family member, a friend, a job that's lost? I go back to the whole thing about relationship. The Lord who wants to be in a super tight relationship. You're not alone here. The Lord is walking with you through this. Okay, I can't see that. I'm struggling to see. Where's God working in my life right now? He's there working through the people he's intentionally put into your life. He's there working through Jesus. He's there working through the situations you're in. And again, at times that's hard to see. But the Lord wants to be in a relationship with you. He sent Jesus to a broken, busted up, messy world. For us to say, oh, Christmas has to be perfect. Well, let's think that very first Christmas night. Was it perfect? Think about this. Mary and Joseph, nowhere to stay. Jesus was born, Bible says, you know, in a manger. Who were the first people to visit him? Was it kings? Was it the elite of the day? No, it wasn't. It was simple shepherds. God loves working through the unusual and the simple to bring restoration to lives that are horrifically broken. That, for me, brings a lot of peace. And you look in the Old Testament, the prophets, Isaiah in particular, comfort, comfort my people, says God. By the way, who are my people? They're all the people God created. It's not just for a chosen group. Comfort my people. Who brings joy out of mourning. I mean, there's numerous texts from the Old Testament prophets that say, look, I've come to bring joy, not division, not destruction, but I've come to bring peace. That doesn't mean our lives are going to be perfect. Far from it. But God says, look, I want to be with you and walk with you through all of this. You are not alone.
Pastor Eric, someone comes to you and they have they're feeling the sadness or the anxiety, or they've faced a loss. What is your counsel to them?
I think I just shared with someone the other day, grief's a funny thing in that if we try to run from it, it will track us down. And it runs faster than we do. You can't get away from it. So the best way to face grief is, to handle grief, I should say, is simply to stand strong. I think, Andy, you were alluding to this, and face it, because it will catch you. And anyone who's lost someone or an experience that's been very, very painful in their lives, which is almost all of us, we understand that grief catches us sometimes in the most unexpected of times. And we thought we were great, and then suddenly we're doing dishes and we're crying, and we can't figure out why, or we're angry, and we don't know where that came from. So I think acknowledging that that what we're feeling is okay. That grief is a sign of what's right with us. It's not a sign of what's wrong with us. Grief is something we experience often because we love. And to get rid of grief, to avoid grief, would require us to avoid loving. That's not a life that most of us want to live. And so I think just accepting the fact that this is where I'm at, and just being honest with myself about what I'm facing is probably the first step in that. Christmas is really the story, Steve, you're just kind of alluding to this. It's the story of the underdog. I mean, Christmas is all about the underdog, right? I mean, even the way Jesus came into this world, so many things were set against him, and yet that's how God chose to interrupt human time and existence. And so I think that can give us hope when we feel like life has us a bit by the throat, that we're not alone in that, that Christmas tells us that there is hope, that there is joy. That there is the gift of peace, all of these wonderful qualities we find at Christmas. And so my goal would be to encourage someone to be honest about their emotions in that. Life does not give us a free pass during the holidays. So we have to acknowledge it. We have to be thoughtful about not pulling away. It can be very easy to want to do that. And I've been there before, battled depression at one point in my life for a short season. And when people would call me on the phone, I just remember yelling at the answering machine one day, like, I don't want to talk to you. You know, the very thing I needed, community, was the very thing I was kind of pushing away. And that can put us in even more difficult spot. So we open up and we try to, pursue relationship with others. The other thing I think we can do is be thoughtful. All of us can be thoughtful about the people around us that are struggling. I mean, the reality is there's five of us in this room right now, and all five of us have a story, maybe even this year, of something we're going through that's painful. And so just to look at people with an awareness, there's probably an internal battle they're fighting that we don't see on the outside, I think can cause all of us to be a little bit more compassionate and to be thoughtful about how do we include someone in our lives, invite them over to our home, include them in our Christmas celebration that may not have the opportunities this year around them. I think if we all did that in a very, very small way, if we did it for one person, loneliness could be addressed pretty quickly in our world. Just by each one of us taking responsibility for our own actions and looking outward.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of what I'm hearing is awakening the Christ spirit within yourself so that you can be that also.
Yeah,
for someone else if needed.
Yeah.
Or pay attention. And if it's happening to you, what you just said, what all of you said is reach out. Yes.
And grief and challenges like that have a way of awakening that Christ within us in ways that wouldn't happen otherwise. And so in some ways it's a gift, even though it's not the kind we would typically want to unwrap.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to run out of time before we know it here, but I wanted to switch up to a kind of a pop culture question. Christmas, by its very name, it's the Mass of Christmas. It's a celebration of the birth of Christ. But there's this other character out there that kind of tends to dominate. Santa Claus is his name. How do you try to, as faith leaders, how do you try to merge the popular celebration with Santa Claus and all that trapping with the real meaning of Christmas, the origin of Christmas? And I don't know. Pastor Steve, you want to take that question?
The way I look at that, every culture has its traditions, and those traditions aren't necessarily good, bad, indifferent. There's something that are celebrated. One of the most powerful things I have seen as we talk about the merging of Santa and Jesus, how in the world does this all fit together? I saw this at a Christmas children's service one time. Where at the end of the service, it was the story of Jesus' birth, the reality of what that means for us. But at the end, here comes Santa Claus right down the center aisle. He goes up to the manger, and he also worships the newborn king. Mm-hmm. So is it possible to merge the two? I think it can be. We do need to remember, at least, Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth. But we also don't want to discount our cultural traditions. Obviously, the reason for the season is Jesus. But Santa and the other traditions that each culture uses can also be something that are celebrated with all families.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric, anything to add there?
I don't know if I have much to add. I agree with what you shared, Steve. I love those traditions. They're fun. I mean, as a parent, I love that our daughter Madeline informed us two nights ago that she has plans to capture Santa Claus this year when he comes in the house. So we'll see how that unfolds over the next week.
I heard cookies help. Yeah.
Cookies can help. That's the bait. So I'm curious what kind of rope she'll use to tie him up. But we had a great conversation about that. And I think, part of that's just embracing the wonder and the joy of a child. And to be honest, a little bit of the wonder and joy that we ought to have as adults as well. And so that spirit, I think is wonderful. Do I think it can sometimes go a little bit too far with some of us? Okay. Probably, mm-hmm. Just like anything can. I'm a fan of just embracing what we can in culture that can be fun and joyous, but also, of course, not forgetting the main point of it all, which is the gift of a Savior that came as a baby, the greatest gift of all. And that's our true motivation for giving gifts. That's where that spirit comes from.
Pastor Andy.
As far as I know, Santa Claus, as in a commercial sense, Coca-Cola started something back in the day, and that sort of created our American image of that. Back further, Saint Nicholas was an actual Catholic person who, as I understand it, was like a cardinal and so wore red, and was very compassionate towards children and gave gifts to kids who wouldn't otherwise have those. And so there are historic roots to our Santa Claus. But also to look at the larger picture of, Jesus being born in Bethlehem, Jesus growing and living as God's son, there's always been questions as to who this person is. There's always been misunderstandings and assumptions. Even John the Baptizer, from prison, sent his disciples asking Jesus, are you really the one, or are we to expect another? Because Jesus wasn't living up to the expectation that a lot of people had of what Messiah meant. And we read about that in Matthew. And the way Matthew structures that sentence as he addresses a a largely Jewish Christian audience who's watched the Roman Empire destroy Jerusalem, the temple destroyed, who's really wondering, what is God up to in our world? Can we really trust this message? Where is Jesus? I thought he was coming back yesterday. How is God at work? And the way Matthew structures that sentence about John asking about the Messiah, just the very language usage claims a faith promise that Jesus is the Messiah. There is no question. Love is there. God is there. God's purposes are being fulfilled, indeed already have been. So Santa Claus is kind of a fun thing for Americans. Other cultures approach it differently. But there are some historic roots there, and I think if we really mine that, we just explore our faith tradition all the more.
Well, thank you so much for all those wonderful thoughts. I think we have time for just a kind of a wrap up from each of you on the subject we've been talking about, the reason for this amazing season called Christmas, and also the times for your congregational, your church times for the service on Christmas Day and or Sundays normally. So we'll start with Pastor Steve.
Again, when I look at Christmas, the word hope is what really comes to mind, hope and peace in a world that's chaotic. And that's really the emphasis of what we'll be sharing as a congregation with our community and those who are there at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. We're at 1900 Pine Street across from the YMCA in Traverse Park. We're going to have three options or three opportunities for that this Christmas. Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, we'll have a family service, which we've changed the structure of this year. In the past, it's been a puppet show. This year, we're doing a hands-on craft activity that will be, I'm not going to give all the details, but it'll be a hands-on craft activity where something can be taken home to remember, okay, this is the reason for the season. But that'll be at 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve will be our more traditional Christmas service. And then Christmas morning at 10 o'clock, we have a service of lessons and carols, where we let carols and the scripture reading tell the story. It's actually a very ancient service, wonderful. But those three options, 5 and 7 o'clock Christmas Eve and 10 o'clock Christmas morning.
Well, thank you. And Pastor Eric Rust from Cedar Hills. Wrap up.
Yeah, for me, the word anticipation has been a big word this year. There's so much to look forward to. And I think many of us, if we're not careful, can miss out on just it's a time of preparation, anticipating that which is to come. Again, I having a 6-year-old in my house, it's easy to see the anticipation that she has. But I have a college son who's coming home Saturday. And so the joy of looking for him to arrive and what that means, all of that, I think, represents this spirit of anticipation we have as we prepare and look forward to Christmas and the birth of Christ. So that'd be kind of my final parting word is anticipate, be thoughtful, keep your eyes open. We're going to be celebrating Christmas together as a community on Christmas Eve. We have four gatherings, starting at 1 o'clock, 2:30, 4 o'clock, and 5:30. You can find out more information in our location at our website, which is cedarhillschurch.com. And it's a family-friendly gathering. We're going to have a lot of fun. We've got packets for kids and just lots of good things planned. But that's our plan. It'll be a great night.
Thank you. And Pastor Andy from the First Presbyterian Church.
Yeah. Thank you again for having us on here. I was kind of in my mind playing with that from the faith perspective is how you introduced us as sharing, as if there's the faith perspective. And so I think it's important that we were here together to share a group approach, and how God works through all of our churches is just amazing. First Presbyterian Church also has a website, fpcsandpoint.org. And a Facebook page as well. On Christmas Eve, we have a 5:30 service that is also a lessons and carols approach, reading scripture, singing songs. The choir will be singing a brief message there. And also ending that service by singing by candlelight. So everyone holds a candle. And that's just a really nice time to celebrate. Maybe a couple words I could throw in here for the reason for the season, peace and presence, where we celebrate the peace of Christ in our hearts, being present in our lives as we're present to one another and sent into the darkest time of the year to be God's light and life. Good. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all three, pastors. Andy Canale of the First Presbyterian Church, Eric Russ from Cedar Hills Church, and Steve Heinsohn of Christ our Redeemer Lutheran Church. We really appreciate you coming in and sharing thoughts. We're going to take a very short musical break here. This is Natalie Cole. She's going to be singing the First Noel. Be just a couple minutes, and then we're going to come back with some announcements on things that are going on. And that was Cheryl Crow, Go Tell It on the Mountain. We're back here in the studio for the KRFY Morning Show.
Yes, and we are, Chris.
Yes.
And we just had the greatest opportunity to speak with three faith pastors. And if you did not get to hear the reason for the season, this annual morning show that we do every year, you can go to our website, krfy.org. It will be posted as a podcast. And I think it's well worth it to kind of inspire us forward. We have a few announcements, and then we'll probably say goodbye.
Yeah.
We won't be here on a Wednesday for the next 2 weeks, because Wednesday next week is Christmas Day, and the week after that is New Year's Day. But we will be back in January.
And it won't be just dead air. There will be nice music to be heard. You just won't hear us. That's actually we've been doing this for, 5 years now?
Yeah, it's the first time.
First time we've had two Wednesdays off in a row. So
I know. We have something to celebrate, kind of. But we will miss being on the air. We want to let you know that we have a ticket to the Nutcracker that's playing at the Panada tonight. If you're interested, it's a ticket giveaway, but we would like a little donation. Since this is our end of the year giving appeal time, and we're reaching out to our listeners, since this is listener-supported, commercial-free, corporate-free community radio in North Idaho. It's the one way, one of the important ways that we stay on the air is our listeners making donations. So you can go to our website. We have a secure PayPal button there, and you can make a donation, and or you can call us if you want that ticket, 208-265-2992. Just leave a message. I'll call you back after the show.
Yep. And we want to say thanks to all the folks that have supported KRFY over the course of the year. It is the spirit and the season of giving. So if you do have a little bit extra you want to provide to the station, almost everybody here is a volunteer, we should mention.
All the broadcasters certainly are.
Every single one of the broadcasters, none of them are paid. And we have an amazing group of broadcasters, but there are still hard fixed costs that we have to meet, and all the donations go to that.
Yep, and we want to say thank you to our most valuable underwriters. That is also another part of what supports community commercial-free radio here in Sandpoint. So, and it's a pretty cool thing we have this radio station. We're grateful. Also, tonight, we want to just say the last thing we're going to say this year, Chris, is join us tonight at the Idaho Poor Authority for our annual party. It is an annual meeting, but it's more of a party, and it's a fundraiser for KRFY Idaho Poor Authority downtown. That's tonight, Wednesday, December 18th from 5 to 8 p.m., and music by Marty and Doug, and featured brewery is Payette. Please come down, meet the KRFY crew, have a brew, and help us celebrate community radio, because that's what we're doing right now and always.
And always. Okay, we hope to see you there tonight, and we're just about out of time. We're going to go out with a little bit of music here. We hope you have a great week, a great end of the year, and we'll see you back in 2020.
And a beautiful day. And hey, Chris, I just wanted to say I appreciate the fact that we've been doing this for 5 years, and it's pretty cool. So thanks for doing this with me every Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you, Susie. And bye to y'all now.
Bye-bye.